Chapter 3. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? 1. Introduction. Imagine two people who go to the same church and therefore hear the same message from the preacher. Imagine that the two people sow the same amount when it comes to honoring God with tithes and offerings. Why will one of them have a harvest greater than the other? One will have one for 30, another will have one for 60, and another will have one for 100. And some will not even have a harvest. Others settle for a harvest of one for 2, for 3, when Jesus spoke a minimum of one for 30. 2. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? Because they are not committed to God. It's like that man who wants to be with his girlfriend and even lives with her to obtain the proper benefits, but he doesn't want to commit, so he doesn't marry her. So he is free to change girlfriends. He does not need to take on responsibilities, and if children are born, that's nothing to do with him. This is what many believers do with God. They want the benefits of being God's friends, divine healing, health, finances, but don't want to commit. They want to be friends with the world and with God at the same time. James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So, this type of believer will only have crumbs from God, even when they sow the same financial amount as another committed believer. They will have a much inferior harvest. 3. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? Because they don't obey God. This is the case of people who say, "I follow God my way." It is the case of people who even go to church and in a way are faithful, but when they hear certain commandments from God, they do not obey. They think like this, "Ah, what? I have to forgive? Stop practicing idolatry. Stop walking in the occult. Honoring God with tithes and offerings? Love God more than my father, mother, children, house, money, business? No, I won't do that. I'll do what I always do. I'll say amen at church, but I'll do things my way. I'll follow God my way." This is the case of King Saul. Who was King Saul? He was a man that God chose, and who knew nothing, and he knew that he didn't know, so he obeyed everything. And the instructions were that he had to be guided by the prophet. The prophet told him, "Do or don't." So he reigned according to the instructions that God given through the mouth of the prophet. But, at one point, King Saul began to have authority. People liked him. People obeyed him. And that went to his head. "I also know, I can also." He then started to disobey the prophet, again and again and again. One day, God gave him an ultimatum. God sent a message through the prophet. "You are going to war, and you must destroy everything. Don't bring anything nor people back home." 1 Samuel 15:3. "Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all they have. And do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So King Saul thought, "What? I'll do what I always do. I'll say amen, but I do things my way. I follow God my way." And what did he do? He disobeyed and brought, among other things, cows. 1 Samuel 15, 8-9. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. The prophet found out and told the king, "Listen, didn't you hear what God told you to do?" And Saul answered, "Ah, yes, you don't understand it very well. And then he starts to explain why he disobeyed the instructions God had given. And he gave the excuse that it was not his fault, that it was the people's fault. 1 Samuel 15, 20-21. And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And the prophet said, "Listen, are you telling me that it is for the sacrifice for the house of the Lord? Haven't you understood yet? I already explained to you that God doesn't want this. God doesn't need your sacrifice for anything. God wants your obedience. It is not the first, nor the second, nor the third time that you've disobeyed. So God has already rejected you." 1 Samuel 15, 22-26. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." And God handed him over to the devil. 1 Samuel 16:14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. There are a lot of pastors who don't believe in this. I was at a pastor's conference once. There were about 400 to 500 pastors, all evangelicals. I was teaching about authority and submission, and among other things, I talked about King Saul's disobedience and how God handed him over to the devil. When they heard me talking about this, they said, "Oh, that can't be. So, does God hand over a person to the devil?" People, in general, think that because God is love means that we can do whatever we want without suffering consequences. But this is wrong. The love of God does not consist in tolerating the lies, injustices, disobediences, sins that people do. God's love consists of He having sent Jesus to earth to pay for those sins, crimes. It was on the cross that Jesus nailed all of our problems, diseases, and also paid with blood for our sins. So, everyone who accepts God's rescue plan is forgiven and freed from the consequences. Whoever does not accept God's plan will be condemned and handed over to the devil, the leader of the rebels, disobedience. See how the Apostle Paul handed over a member of the church to the devil? 1 Corinthians 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. But most believers spiritualize evil, say that it is not that bad. The Bible says that God created the police to protect the good from the evil. God commanded the creation of armies to defend the good nations from the bad. Romans 13, 1-3. And it was God who ordered the killings of soldiers and nations. I can tell you why God does this. Because there are people that are so evil, if they continue to live, they'll destroy thousands of people. So God takes them away sooner. People have the idea that this life is the greatest, and for God, this life is nothing. It is just a limited time that is meant for us to decide who we want to walk with. This is not paradise. This is a war. 4. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? Because they don't change paths. They think it's okay. Disobey God's commandments. They think this won't bring bad consequences. A person who is offended, deceived by someone, and decides not to forgive will only have serious problems. A person who befriends a witch and goes to church will only have serious problems. A person who is an idolater and continues worshiping them will only have serious problems. In the first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, God forbids people to walk in idolatry and warns that it offends him in such a way that whoever does it will see their children, grandchildren, up to the third and fourth generation be punished. However, this does not prevent the current president of Portugal, Marcelo Rebelo de Sousa, from officially encouraging the people to get involved in this forbidden path. And more extraordinary is that, as Portugal is a secular state, what he does is against Portugal's law number one, the Constitution of the Portuguese Republic. As the president is very friendly and affectionate, people like him very much. And even if they come to know the law of the Ten Commandments, they don't think it is bad that he wants to involve us in more idolatry events. Thus, people are deceived by appearances and don't understand the connection between what has happened to Portugal, going from bad to worse, and the laws of God. 5. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? Because they don't want to offend the world. These are people who want to be at peace with God and the world. It is normal for this to happen because we are prepared by society to only accept what is politically correct. If we go by logic, it would be much easier for us to have another kind of speech when we talk about these things from the Bible. In our church, we speak about God's opinion, but this is not the easiest way. The easiest way would be to have another kind of speech, which would make us have a lot more followers. This way of speaking what God says, just as it happened with the prophets of the Old Testament, brings misunderstandings and offenses, brings persecution and insults, makes people upset with us, brings people who speak ill of us. But the Bible warns us, James 4:4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enemy with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There is suffering that is not according to God's will, to die and going to hell, to live sick and poor. But there is suffering that is according to God's will. 1 Peter 4:13 through 16. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he has blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. 6. Why doesn't everyone reap a hundredfold? Don't exchange their pearls for the most valuable one. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Make an inventory of everything you have and pray. Lord, here is the list of things that are in my possession, houses, cars. From today, it is no longer mine, it is yours. I am just a steward of these things, which are yours. Whatever you tell me to do, that I will do. Use me, O God. Make me a great blesser to help you save people, heal the sick. Whoever follows Jesus needs to deny himself by doing his will. Matthew 16:24-26. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and to take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Many people think that the cross they need to carry is a serious illness, unfavorable circumstance in life, financial problems. All of these are difficult things. But, take up our cross means deny ourselves every day, and not just once in a while, not just regarding to a part of our life, but in regards to all areas of our life. Then we will be in the position spoken by Jesus. Mark 10:29-30. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, money, material wealth, for my sake and the gospel's, the right motive, who shall not receive 100-fold, 100 times more, now in this time, now, not after dying, in houses and brothers and lands, money, material wealth. Then Mark 10:29-30 will happen. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, the right motive, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. In other words, you can start having crops of 1 for 100, and no longer have weaker crops of 1 for 3, of 1 for 5, of 1 for 10. The secret is this: everyone that helps the work of God with money and material goods receives 100 times more, a harvest of 1 for 100, if you do it with the right motive, if you do it for love to Jesus, and for love for the gospel, God's work. Jesus' exhortation to all disciples: let go of your lifestyle, walk with me and follow me, help me save people, help me heal the sick, cast out demons, stop building your kingdom, begin to build the kingdom of God. 7. Why doesn't everyone reap 100-fold? Because they don't not want to offend believers. There are pastors who do not correct believers for fear that they will be offended and fail to give tithes and offerings in their churches. I remember the first time that God had me correcting certain believers. The devil brought these thoughts to my mind. At that time, I also had fellowship with certain pastors older than me who said, "You're young, you will correct that believer. On top of that, he's a businessman. You will run out of tithes and offerings." Fortunately, I decided to obey God's commandments. Do you know what happened? Instantly, we got more money and more people. Why? Leaving sin, the blessing comes. But there's a lot of preachers who don't understand what I'm saying here, so they're not so successful.